Welcome to Bloombox Growing Deeper. I'm Sarah.
I'm Hannah, and we're on a mission to help you become the gardener you want to be.
Hi, everybody.
It's that time of year again.
Ooh, it's Spring Affair. Yay. By the time we talk about it, we're so tired of talking about it.
We had to pump ourselves up a little bit for this because we've been working on Spring Affair since like November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so long. But today is cold.
It
and
is.
Cloudy. Ugh. It's making me a little sleepy. So looking forward to spring is helping.
It is. I just got a Snapchat of like 6 inches of snow from my sisters.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh.
I don't want any snow, but I think it might snow a little bit this weekend. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't want to water my trees again, so I hope it does something.
Oh my gosh, but I am so excited because I did a big plumbing thing, you know, and they replaced all of our hose bibs. So now we have frost-free hose ones, so I don't have to like winterize them every year.
That is lovely.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I can't pretend I've ever had to do that because mine are frost-free, but
yeah.
I sympathize.
Mm-hmm. So that's I'm excited. All I'll have to do is unhook the hoses, empty those out, put them in the garage, and I'm done.
That's going to be so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you've got nice hot water for this cold weekend.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. So normally when I want to take a bath or something, I have to like turn the water on and then I leave for a while and let the tub fill up because it took so long because our water pressure was so bad. Yesterday I turned on to clean the bathtub and I was like, whoa, this is so much water so fast. I need to make sure next time I watch it fill.
You don't forget to walk and walk away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I always turn our shower on and then I go like get towels and things because it takes a while to heat up. We love living in old houses.
I love it. It's just, there's those quirks.
We should probably also say that because we're complaining about a cold weekend, we're recording in March.
We are.
We're trying to get a little ahead before our busy spring. So if you're sitting there listening to this and you're like, it is a beautiful 65.
Sure.
Which I really hope that when you are listening to this, it's a lovely day in
Maybe
April.
Maybe it is.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're way far ahead. I think one year we did record the Spring Affair one pretty close to Spring Affair, and it was wild.
It was. Yeah.
We were hopped up on caffeine trying to keep up with things.
It gave me a tough editing job. Yeah, there were some cuts to make that time. So,
This is a better idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about Spring Affair.
I'm so excited. It is as tiring as it gets with these long planning months, waiting for it to come and doing all the kind of less fun things, the event is so fun and we enjoy being there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Even though at the end of the day, I soak my feet at the end of every day because they hurt.
Yeah.
Because I've walked so much. But it's just like still the next day when I walk in and I'm surrounded by all these plants and
the
green and
back.
And people are just excited to be there. I'm just like, oh yeah.
It's a party.
It is a party. It's a good time.
All right. Where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about where we're going to be at?
Yeah, let's talk about the basic details. So Spring Affair is a basically 3-day, but it's only certain hours each day, sale of your probably largest selection in the Great Plains of native, near natives, temperennials, herbs, trees, shrubs, all the different plants you could probably ever want, unless you're very picky.
Really big room.
In one really big room that requires a lot of walking. So be aware of that. So it is the last weekend in April. That's April 25th through 27th this year. The 25th is a Thursday. And that night is preview party and preview sale. We do have limited tickets left at time of recording. We probably, by the time this comes out, won't have any tickets left for the dinner, which is preview party. So that's a dinner cocktail hour for the 2 hours leading up to the sale, which is also a ticketed event that night only. The other days, it's free, open to public, you can come in. But on Thursday night, for best choice, best selection, you can pay either $20 or $25, depending on if you're a member or not, to get a ticket to come in and shop first. So that's super fun. And that is 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday night. And you can get tickets at the door.
Okay. So if you, we're just going to.
Yeah. So if you haven't purchased tickets yet, it's the same price if you purchase them ahead of time or at the door. We don't charge more for getting them at the door. So just show up and you can pay at the door and get on in and shop to your heart's content on Thursday night.
I hear a lot of people who are repeated preview shoppers like to do it because they have their list and they want to make sure they get it before it runs out. It's also a really good night to come if you have questions and you want a little bit of time with our staff.
Yeah.
There'll be hundreds of you instead of thousands of you at one time.
Less people.
So we can answer a lot more questions and take a lot more time with each person that night.
For reference, on Thursday night, we have about 10% of the people we have on Friday.
Yeah. We do our best to help as many people as we can on Friday, but there's a lot of you shopping.
Yeah. Yeah. So also Thursday night, there's a bar, cash bar. So if you would like some beverages while you shop for your plants, that's the time to do it. But then on Friday and Saturday, open to the public, I will warn you, there is a line to get in. People get there early and get in line. You don't have to.
If you come, you know, half an hour after the doors open, the line is usually almost gone. But it can take us a half an hour to get that initial line in the door when we open.
Those people just really want, they have specific plants they want to try to get. If you are coming to shop, look around, and you're more of like a, I'm going to see what I like and I'm going to grab those things, there is no need for you to be in that early line.
Give it an hour. You'll just be frustrated because the people that come in at that time, they are on a mission. Mm-hmm. They have a list. They're checking boxes. Mm-hmm. And they get it, it's hard to just have that leisurely browse.
Yes.
That is so fun when you're picking out new plants.
Mm-hmm. So on Friday, it's 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And that is Arbor Day, too. So we're going to talk about the plant talks in a minute, but we are going to focus on trees that day because it's Arbor Day.
Makes
so
sense.
If you want to plant a tree on Arbor Day, come purchase one from us and we'll be happy to help. And then Saturday is the last day. That does mean that the selection of plants will be lower because people will have purchased things already and they will run out. And the point of this sale, it is a fundraiser, so we're trying to sell every single plant in the room. So we don't restock. We can't restock. You can't just grow a plant overnight.
We have no, the truck comes one time.
Yeah, yeah. And so Saturday there's lower, but once again, if you're one of those people who's like, I just want to come and see what you have and pick a few things, you're going to be perfectly happy on Saturday too, because there's going to be stuff left in every section.
Especially if you're like coming for trees and shrubs, because that does come from our personal inventory.
Yes.
And so we are able to keep those stocked.
Yes.
But the plants, the sun and shade perennials and the temperennials and the herbs, those we have no new ones coming.
Nope.
But trees and shrubs, that can be a nice leisurely time to get a chance to talk to Bob and ask questions. I always find that the Saturday tree shoppers are very happy.
And Saturday is a little more leisurely. The people who are really invested in getting plants come on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and I've never seen our vendors run out on Saturday. Our vendors do tend to restock themselves.
Yes.
So we have, you know, non-plant selling vendors. Yep. And we also have vendors who sell plants that we don't carry.
Yep.
And I've never seen them run too low. So Saturday is a great option if you want to be able to shop. Well, all the other things.
A lot of them are at the beginning of their season because they go to farmers markets, and the farmers market in the area doesn't start until the day after Spring Affair.
So they might be 3 days into the sale, but they are only 3 days into their summer long season. So, yep, I do like Saturday for taking a nice browse through the vendor booths.
Yes, absolutely. So Saturday is 9 to noon. 9 to noon. Oh, it's a morning situation. So that's kind of the rundown of when the sale is. The sale is at the Sand Hills Global Event Center, which you might be like, I have never heard of that.
You have.
You have. It's the Lancaster Event Center. They renamed this year as Sand Hills Global. So it is the exact same place. Don't panic. It's the same place. We've always had Spring Affair for the last 10 years, 15 years, whatever. It's
forever.
Been. Not,
I mean,
forever.
Not forever, but forever to us.
Yes. So it's right there, and It's in Currency Pavilion, which used to be Pavilion 1. So we're back in our normal pavilion, not the place we were last year. If you came last year, it's not that one. That one, we just had a little bit of a scheduling conflict. So we were in a different spot. But this year, we're back to our normal spot. No dirt floors.
We're very happy about it. We're very comfortable laying this room out. We know how it works. Last year was a little bit of a scramble to make traffic flow.
Yeah.
No more of that.
No.
Back to normal.
So not as much walking as there was last year. Oh, my gosh.
There was a lot of
walking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. I think that covers when, where.
Let's do a little how.
Sure.
Because I know you said you want people. We've done this. This is our third Spring Affair preview. Or second.
Third.
So the last two will link to those episodes, and we do a lot more in-depth tips on shopping. But there's two we really want you to know this time.
Mm-hmm.
First one, Hannah said it over and over again. You will walk.
Yeah.
A lot. If
so
you
much.
Need assistance with that, you need to bring your own. We don't have the ability to offer anything to help you navigate the sale.
We do try to place chairs throughout in case you get lightheaded or you just need to sit down for a minute. But I will say I walk more Spring Affair week than I did at Disney World.
Yeah.
So
some of that's
so much
us,
walking
because we go back and forth to help fix problems.
Yeah.
But you will walk. Wear comfortable shoes. And if you have small children with you, bring a stroller or something for them, because that is a lot of walking in a lot of grown-ups to navigate their way through.
Yes.
What's our second thing?
Our second thing is bring something to put your plants in.
Oh, yes.
While you're shopping. A wagon on top of those kids in the stroller.
I've definitely seen some kids holding plants in strollers. I've seen some kids evicted so the stroller can hold more plants.
Yes. You're out of here. It could be a cart. I don't care. Really, almost anything you can think of, you can bring.
So I see a lot of rolly coolers.
Mm-hmm.
The coolers with the rolling handles.
Yep, yep.
There's people that bring like those dollies with milk crates stacked up on them. Anything you can think of, because you can really only comfortably carry 1 to 2 cardboard flats of plants.
Yeah.
Now, if you've been working in plants, you know that you can actually carry 4, but it's tricky.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of walking with your flats.
So much walking. There will be plant babysitters, so you can use that service. But, you know, it's just easier if you have something to put them in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can leave your plants at the plant babysitters. You do have to go back to the babysitters, get your plants, and then get in line to check out.
I feel like this is where I see people get in trouble, because the babysitters are helpful to free your hands up so you can keep browsing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's really easy to go back to the babysitters and find out you have 5 flats there waiting for you and you only have 2 hands.
Yes. Yes. So we'll have some people around who might be able to help you here and there. Very, very cheerful volunteers. But it's best if you plan on it. Now, this year we are going to have a limited supply of wagons available for rental for a suggested donation to the Statewide Arboretum, but it will be limited and we require you to leave some collateral.
Yeah, we want our wagons back.
We use our wagons all the time, so they are going to be low-jacked as well, so we know if they disappear, but there will be a limited supply. Best if you bring your own.
It is. It's. I know that it seems like something you shouldn't have to think about when you go shopping, but from our end, hosting an event, there's not just like somebody waiting to rent us shopping carts for the day. That's not a thing that, as far as I'm aware. So we just don't have anything to give you.
No.
And I found that most plant people do own many wheeled items.
I mean, a wheelbarrow.
A wheelbarrow would be great. Whatever you like.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your friend and just have them carry your plants. I think that's a fantastic suggestion.
Mm-hmm. If you do nothing else for Spring Affair, it's wear good shoes, bring something to carry your plants in.
Yeah.
Those are our tips. But otherwise, listen back to our other episodes, which we'll link to, because there's a lot of other tips.
I think 2 years ago, we walked through navigating the sale, how we lay out the floor and all of that. So you can get a complete heads up on what's you're going to see when you walk in the door.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we always wear blue shirts.
Yeah.
our staff does, so we're very easy to find. And the color changes, but our volunteers always wear the same color shirt too. Mm-hmm. So we try to make ourselves easily identifiable for help.
Yeah. I'm gunning for goldenrod yellow this year.
Ooh, that's what I want. Very easy to see.
Yeah.
Everybody used to always do green, and then we finally started pointing out you can't call people out in green in a room of plants. That's how you blend in.
Yeah, and in Nebraska, you can't do red either.
No, too many people already wearing red.
I think this Saturday is the spring game, if I remember correctly.
Is it? I haven't looked.
I think it is. So,
yeah, could everyone be. Will already be wearing red.
Yeah. Luckily, plant people, spring game people.
Tend to be different.
They tend to be different.
They usually also in the different afternoon. Time. Yeah, they're different times.
So we're okay. All right, let's talk about the plant talks because I'm excited.
We have this is very organized for plant talks for us. I think it's going to be great.
Thanks, Michelle. Yeah, so we have scheduled plant talks every day of Spring Affair, except for Thursday. We don't do Thursday because people are just talking to us about their plants.
Right.
So we don't people need to
would
do
rather
that.
Us answer their questions.
Yes.
Then.
But Friday and Saturday, we have talks. Do you have a list, Sarah?
I do.
Okay.
So Friday, the first one is going to be herbs for food and medicine at 3 o'clock.
Yes. This was a popular one last year.
I'm guessing this is Bob.
Yes.
And Bob's is he leading. Walking or is he located?
He is walking around with it. So just listen overhead of where to meet or ask a volunteer. It's probably just going to be in the herb section.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he'll verge out into the regular perennials.
I think he will, but he'll probably start in the herbs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What Bob defines as a herb is much broader than many people.
This is true.
But this is, it's an excellent talk and people really like the fact that he walks around. Mm-hmm. So he's on the mic. You can hear him over the loudspeaker.
Yep.
But if you want to just follow him around and pick up what is mentioned, he makes that really easy.
Yes, yes.
Okay, next is your Arbor Day.
Arbor Day. Justin's doing this one.
Oh, Justin's doing it. Yeah. Great. And it sounds like this is another walkabout through the tree section.
Yes.
To highlight some of our favorites for Arbor Day.
Yes.
And that's at 4.
Mm-hmm. So come buy a tree with Justin.
Yes.
He'll talk you into 5 trees.
He will. If you come planting 0 trees, you might leave with 5.
Mm-hmm.
But you will know a lot more about them than you ever thought you could.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's for sure.
And then on Saturday, we have 2 again at 9:30, Spring Affair Hidden Gems.
Bob's doing that
Bob's
one as
doing
well.
Doing that one too. I'm guessing that's going to be a walkabout then.
It
too.
Is, yes.
Bob doesn't like to stand still.
No, Bob is not a sit, stand, no. He's always moving.
I think that's great though, because it helps people find what you're talking about.
Yes, yes. And that one's a fun one because it's not pre-planned.
No.
So you don't know what's going
to
happen.
You don't know. He'll pick what he wants to talk about that day or what he notices by Saturday morning, what he notices people are missing. Because we don't stock bad plants.
No.
But we do stock a lot of plants you might not know anything about.
We stock plants I don't like.
That's fair. That's a personal preference.
But it's not all about me, I guess.
Know. We stock plants I don't like too, but we stock, many that I do.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just need to learn more about the plant that
this
I thought I
true.
Didn't like.
Yeah.
Okay, and then at 10:30 on Saturday, it's me.
It's you.
We're going to lay out a pollinator garden together.
Yeah.
And mine is not walking because I don't know how to lay out a pollinator garden while walking. But we're going to physically take some plants and lay them on the floor as if it was our garden.
And it will also be plants that are still available.
Yes.
That day.
Last year, I made the mistake of pulling my top choices early. Mm-hmm. And this time I'm going to wait till Saturday morning and I'm going to design a garden from what is still on the floor.
Yeah.
So Brad's going to help me too, because that's last year I found out that going up and down laying out plants while talking into a microphone left me kind of out of breath.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I think it'll be really fun because it just gives a physical idea to what you're doing with these plants after you buy them. And on Saturday, that tends to be a lot of our shoppers that are less experienced gardeners.
Yes, new to gardening.
Yeah.
Or newer. Sure. So lots of good stuff happening. Reasons for you to come every day.
Yeah. I do see people come multiple times.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially if they volunteer one day, they might come just for fun the next day.
Yes. Yes. That's for sure.
Okay.
All right. Is that all of our...
That's all of our planned tips. Any last things you want to say before we highlight plants?
If you don't have a Spring Affair news yet, you can also call us and we'll send you a Spring Affair news.
There's a large pile.
If you want to plan. So that would be another thing. And make sure you're added to the list for previous or for next year and other years.
Is it still listed digitally online?
Yes. Okay. And it's online. If you just go to plantnebraska.org, is the first thing on the ribbon. So it's just Spring Affair. Click on that. It has all the info. Spring Affair news. It has just all the list of the plant talks, everything.
It's and right we have there. So what Spring Affair news is, it's a newspaper that we produce every year, and in it is the entire plant list for the event. That's what people are after.
Yeah,
that's the gold. But
I thought it was my opening letter that they liked. So
no, I don't think so. I'm sorry. Hopefully you also read Hannah's opening letter and all of our tips for plant selection, plant combinations. We do fill that with lots of you know, how to use plants, what you should look at, just stories to help you think about what you might need.
Plants you probably can't kill.
Yes. That's our typo for the year. Our plants you probably can't kill. And that is my article. I don't think that was my typo,
no,
though.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, we have suggestions. What people are after is the plant list. Mm-hmm. And they come highlighted, marked up, circled, ready to shop.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Are you ready to talk about plants?
I am.
Yeah, this is so exciting. Okay, how about you go first? Because if we go alphabetically according to the list, you've got the first one.
I do. But mine actually belongs in the shrub section.
But then you have that one.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so my first one, and this isn't like a new or surprising plant, is Eupatorium Little Joe, which is Little Joe Pie. Mm-hmm. Little Joe Joe Pie.
Yes.
And I highlighted it not because people don't know about it, but because it can be kind of hard to find. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's cool that we have it. And if you are trying to plant for pollinators, you have heard that Joe Pie is like the plant to have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like 6 feet tall. And that doesn't work. I've seen it 8 feet tall. It just doesn't work.
I love my big
you
Joe
do.
Pie.
And I loved Big Joe Pie, too. But what I like about the Little Joe is that it's much more suited to every space.
It is still 3 feet tall.
It's still three
to
feet
be clear,
tall.
People.
Yeah, you always have to take, when people say little in plants, it's relative to the original.
It is still toddler size.
Yeah, that's true. I have, we'll see if it's as tall as Silas this year.
Yeah.
Mine was just a baby last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if the big one is 8... Little gives you a, you know, mm-hmm. still a 3 foot plant, mm-hmm. but still much, you know, easier to use.
Yes.
In the average size garden.
It will fit in your landscape better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Is that another good one, same as the Big Joe Pie, for like a little bit of your boggier areas if you have one?
It is the same plant mm-hmm. as the Big Joe, just Little Joe.
Yeah.
So if you've got a wetter spot, it'll suck up some of that water.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good plant for your rain gardens, which we just talked about in a plant talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, it's one that gets missed on the pollinator list sometimes because everybody sees butterfly milkweed and stops there. But Joe Pie, if you visit that plant when it's in full bloom, it just like vibrates with insects. Every
That's
kind,
for sure.
Butterflies, bees, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably my most visited plant.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
In Community Crops area at Prairie Pines, someone had a patch of just, it was just like field, and then a like 10 square foot area of Joe Pie that was like 8 to 10 feet tall. And it was just, one, cool.
Yeah.
And then two, just so covered in insects.
Yep. I love it. All right, I'm up next. So my full sun is Heliopsis, and really any. We have three options this year: bleeding hearts, burning hearts, and summer nights. Some people call these oxeye as well, or sunflowers. Like I've heard false sunflower is what people will call it. It is a shorter kind of like, I think like a black-eyed Susan, but prettier and doesn't spread as much. It will spread, which is one of the things that I like about it. About 3 to 4 feet. So it's a really good anchoring plant in the middle of your garden and pops out with these just beautiful flowers.
Yes. And all those cultivars you listed, it's all yellow, orange, and red in different combinations. So they're kind of like, there are full yellow and full red, but then there's also these like tie-dye mixes.
Yep. Summer nights is my favorite. That's what I have
in
mind.
I think the Burning Hearts is one of my favorites.
That's a good one. I love them all.
Yeah.
They are just beautiful. I think they are really good flower that even though they have been kind of crossed a little bit, they still support a lot of insects as well.
As far as I understand, the only thing that's been changed is the color. Mm-hmm. You never see the double flowering or anything, or I haven't seen that.
I haven't.
So it's, and it's still, we have pictures full, you know, we have a file of pictures of insects visiting this plant. So,
yeah, it's one of my favorites. And I think it is great. Like, if you are looking for more of like a natural prairie look, where you're putting a lot of grasses, this would be a great flower to mix in with those grasses.
It stands out.
It stands out. It's like kind of the form of it is a little more scraggly. I don't say that in a bad way. Just is like there's not a lot to the foliage.
No,
of this.
It's very sparse leaves.
Yes. So especially if you're putting it in the midst of other things, it does really well.
It's not one that I would plant as like a centerpiece alone with nothing around it. It would look odd.
Yeah. Yeah.
It needs friends.
Yes. Yes. So I really like that one. So that's on my list. All right. Up next, shade part shade.
Okay. You go first now because you're alphabetically first.
Okay. So this one is one I wouldn't have normally picked. But one day, one of the spring affairs, I was shopping with Matthew, and I said, pick a couple, because I thought he would be more interested in gardening if it was plants he picked. That was not true.
That's how it works with food, supposedly, but I also think it's not true.
Right. So he picked Ligularia, and I saw the picture, and I was like, okay. And I planted them in our very hard to do spot that I've been trying to plant for a while. It's the only thing that's lived and it's gorgeous. It sucks up a lot of water. It needs to be watered more than any plant in my garden. But I love the flowers, midsummer bloom, kind of when nothing else is blooming. It happens in that in-between spot. You know, you get the spring blooms and then you get like late summer. But this is that like in-between section. And I think we have the Othello, Ligularia dentata Othello. I think I have tried the Pandora last year, but I forgot to water it. And so it didn't. I don't know if it made it. We will see. But I have really enjoyed them. Beautiful foliage and then flowers when nothing else is really going. And it adds great interest to a shade garden that has a lot of green in it.
Yes, I have not grown that one myself, but I see it in shady, like, and in rain garden type areas. I think it's one you have to be careful with calling it a rain garden plant because you don't want it to dry out.
Yes.
So it's more like wet area or like almost even like edge of into ponds or that part of your yard that never dries out.
Yes. Which this part was until recently with all the non-raining that's been happening.
Right.
So I do have to water it frequently.
But it's okay to have a plant or two we have to water, especially if they're as cool looking as that one is. And mine is going to go similarly with yours in that it's one I never thought I would want to plant. It's so funky looking. But it's Tricertis.
Yeah.
And I think we have a couple species of it. I know we've had more in the past and there are a lot of species, but all of that genus Tricertis is toad lily.
Yeah.
And there's some cultivars and things and different species, but they seem to all be toad lily. And I bought it for the name.
Well, that is fun.
It was
right?
just funny. And it is a fun flower.
Yeah.
But it just, I bought it for the name. Completely.
Heck
and
yes.
I do like it. I put it like you did in kind of my rain garden area. Toad lily's a little more forgiving in that it won't take long dry periods, but it'll take, you know, a week or so where it's not as moist as it would like to be. So it made a good rain garden plant for me.
That sounds awesome.
And it is like under my tree. So even though it dries out, it's never in very hot sun.
And that fits for your white garden, too.
It's in my white garden.
I like it.
Yeah. So it was very fun. I got the White Towers one, and it is white. It's white with, like, little pink spots. Aww. But it is so funny looking, and I just love it. But then when it's not flowering, the leaves are just very, like, lily or lily of the valley. Mm-hmm. Like, it just looks pretty, like, a normal large grassy like plant until it flowers and you're like, what is that?
So also good like foliage filler if you need it.
And that was what I was trying to fill in this area. I wanted this area to never not have foliage because getting that shady of a space to bloom all year long was hard. But what I really needed was nothing to be ephemeral and like disappear
because
I needed it to hold against the rain.
Like a jack in the pulpit, right? Which, did you plant that there?
I didn't. No, it just, I needed this spot to be covered, even though it was shady. So I used jack in the pulpit in other places, but this is where it's like kind of on a mound and water runs pretty good there.
Yeah.
So it did that.
So I didn't put this in the outline, but I brought it up. I do kind of want to do a list of plants that I really don't like that we offer, but other people love. And Jack in the Pulpit is one of them.
Is it?
Like, people love that plant, and it is a great plant. Like, I am talking purely my own, like, what do I like and what don't I like. Jack in the Pulpit, to me, is one of the ugliest things I've ever seen.
I'm not going to disagree. It's not my favorite plant. It is a cool plant.
It's
and,
very
like,
cool.
A horticultural achievement to be growing it in your yard. Because it's ephemeral, so it's like a tulip. It goes away after it blooms. And it's kind of hard to keep around.
Yes.
But I don't think it's attractive.
No. Ugh. But power to you. If you love it and you plant it and you do it well, that sounds great.
It is an important ecological plant.
Yes, yes.
So I think a lot of people plant it for that. And they not every plant you have has to be your favorite pretty plant.
Oh, it does for me.
But you know, I don't know that I would enjoy looking at a bed of Jack in the Pulpits.
No. Now, if I came upon it in the wild, I would be so excited.
I'd be thrilled. I'd be so one, you'd know you were in a really good habitat, but it'd be really neat. But it's not one I want to design with personally.
No. All right. We don't have anything to pick specifically from this section, but we just are going to talk real quickly about ferns.
Yes, we always carry some ferns, and people who love ferns are there for them.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't know anything about ferns are always a little hesitant.
Yes.
And I don't blame them because they're kind of different looking.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with ferns, you probably think of something your grandma hauled around the house every winter and babied. But these are hardy ferns.
Yes.
So these aren't like your Boston ferns you have to bring in for the winter.
Right, right.
And they do like really fill some needs in tough landscapes. So if we talk about like shady areas that literally never get any direct sunlight and stay moist or even stay dry, there's a fern for both of those.
Mm-hmm.
They can really, you know, fill that spot that's extremely hard to fill with anything else.
Yeah. To me, I have found they're not the hardiest against dogs.
Yeah, that's fair.
So just beware of that.
They don't like to be slept on.
They don't like to be slept on and constantly walked on, and especially by a big dog.
Yeah.
So just beware. There were already a bunch in my yard when we bought the house, and I couldn't tell you what kind of ferns they are. Not at all. And the dog has thoroughly eradicated them from certain paths.
Yeah, where he wants to go.
Yes.
I'm sure they looked like a great bed for him. I'm
sure
he looked at them and thought, oh, that looks very comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But so I have filled in with other
things. Yes. I just wanted to offer that up as a suggestion. I'm the one who wanted to highlight that just to say, like, ferns can be really, really useful in spots you're really struggling with. And there are ways to design with them. So if that's not an aesthetic you thought you liked, think again and look at like what like a Japanese style garden does or like what Lauritsen Garden does in some of their shady areas, where instead of having a bed of solid ferns, we design with them. And
right.
we also have some sedges and we have some, you know, flowering things like columbines. And I think you'll change what you think of ferns. It's still not for every place, but give them another chance.
Yes, for sure. All right. Up next are grasses. And Sarah's first.
I'm first. And I think it's really funny. Our picks for this go very well together. Yes. So I picked big blue stem. Honestly, all of our grasses are really solid choices.
Yeah.
We don't stock any grass that's even like kind of questionable. We stock, I think, a very solid base, you know, selection of grasses. But big blue stem is one that I think people only consider when they're doing like natural style landscapes. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking of doing anything a little more designed or a little more formal, everybody skips big blue stem and they go to the switchgrasses or the Carl Foresters.
Right.
I love big blue stem for how tall it is. I mean, it's just like if you want a statement grass in a garden, it is not only tall, which you can get from a switchgrass, but the color is amazing.
Oh, gorgeous.
Mine turned so bright red in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not as wide. Mm-hmm. So you get the height, but you don't necessarily need like 4 feet diameter space for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't require as much ground space to be as tall and cool.
Yes.
So I like it. We've used it as kind of a screen. Mm-hmm. On the back of our fence, we have sunflowers, and on the front of our fence, we have big blue stem, and together they kind of block a view of part of the alley that we don't care to look at. And it's really a pretty color.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like I do love switchgrasses and we use those too, but they're kind of just white.
Right.
Like they're green in the summer and they're white in the winter. Yep. And that's that.
Yeah. Which does bring me to my honorable mention, which is Indian grass.
Yes.
Because it's another big, tall grass, works great as a visual screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love it. I have planted it at a spot because like my neighbor's front door actually looks on the side of my house.
Yeah.
And it is where my air conditioner is. They don't want to look at my air conditioner, but Indian grass, sure.
I think it's very kind of you to have thought of that and designed that way. And yes, Indian grass makes a great screen over there. And it does the same thing with the coloring up. And sometimes people will avoid Indian grass because of its ability to seed.
Yeah.
But who cares if you're hiding it, the side of your house?
It's not going to seed there because all around it, like the lilac bushes, it's going to be way too shady under those for Indian grass to ever seed. So I'm not too concerned. It is something to keep in mind.
Right. And in my kind of experience is that if you are having problems with your Indian grass seeding to that extent, you didn't fill your garden enough.
Yeah.
It will take advantage of that open space, but it doesn't want to germinate in a shady spot. Mm-hmm. So if you have that much open ground, you might need to get some more plants in there. And then your Indian grass will behave itself.
There you go. But the one I did pick is little blue stem, but it is the blues little blue stem. And I love this one. I know people really want the straight, right? Mm-hmm. They want the straight variety, which is great. But if you can't find the straight, which is actually getting harder to find, the next one of my favorite is blues.
Mm-hmm.
Is the blues. I also like blaze, but blues is really fun. It's what I've planted along my front path. It's just like everything that you like about little blue stem, but amplified.
Yes, I agree. I like the blues. I like blaze. And then I also use a lot of standing ovation.
Yeah.
The thing about the straight species, which is a lovely plant, is that if you're in the eastern half of the state, you're not going to get the fire red that you see in the western half. We need a cultivar to be able to do that. And then if we get into urban areas with a lot of clay soil, we can get floppage. And so some of those cultivars have helped overcome that. And they're not huge changes to the plant, but they do help us in our urban spaces.
Yes. They will still serve all of the wildlife purposes that you want little blue stem for. So you really don't need to worry about that aspect of it.
As you get into sandier soil and more to the west where we get the like nice hard cold snap that it wants, the straight species does a lot better.
Yeah.
But if you decided you wanted a little blue stem after a nice drive through the sandhills in the fall, you're not going to be happy with the straight species in Lincoln.
Yep, go with blaze or blues or standing ovation.
Yeah.
Those will all be good ones for you. And we have them all. That's pretty fair.
Like I said, we don't put any on this list that we don't think will do well.
We also have Blue Heaven listed.
That's a newer one.
I don't know that one.
It's a newer one. I think we tried it. Bob and I used it in some things last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's to some extent, these are very similar.
They are, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. I think it's really similar to the blues,
yeah,
where they're just trying to get that summer blue color to stand,
yes,
out a little more.
Oh, gosh, it's so pretty.
Versus like Blaze, we're trying to get the red to stand, mm-hmm, out a little more. Mm-hmm. But they're minimal changes. The biggest thing that they do is they tolerate an urban space.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. All right, shall we move on to herbs?
Yeah.
Okay. You're up first.
I'm up first. I am. Okay, I'm going to do tarragon, which is actually an artemisia. And you make that face.
Because I have tried cooking with tarragon. So many, like, there's all these recipes for like tarragon potato salad and tarragon this. I don't like tarragon, I have found.
Okay.
I know it's okay.
Is it like a really French thing? Is that where it comes from, like French cooking?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think it's overused.
I don't love the herb myself. For cooking, there's very few things, like maybe chicken or like a couple things,
sure,
that I like it on. And what I decided this year is I don't care if I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty plant.
That's great.
And I think that we need to be okay with herbs that we like as plants and we don't like as food.
We should.
There's nothing, mm-hmm, wrong with that. Because I've been so strict that like I'm not going to use space in my garden for an herb that I don't like to eat.
Yeah.
But there's some really pretty ones that I don't like to eat.
I don't like fennel, but I plant it for the pollinators.
Yeah. And I need to plant some fennel to keep the pollinators off my other things.
Yes, yes. Because I want to eat the dill.
Yeah, I do too. Between the pollinators and the dill, mine never even reseeded last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or between me and the pollinators. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with Mujine tea. I think it's a really cool plant. I don't like vanilla. That's what it tastes like.
Oh.
And I kept thinking, everybody keeps asking me if I plant it because they know I like tea. And it is really
pretty.
Do you
make a tea out of it?
I did one time. Didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I still plant it because.
Where is that one?
Is
it on this list?
Yeah, it is. Nashia.
Oh, okay.
Its genus has nothing to do with its name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I really thought Mujine was the scientific name, but no,
it's
that's
where
the common.
It's from, I think.
Okay.
It's a region. And it's like a tropical, evergreeny, woody-ish plant. It's kind of resinous, so like,
okay,
it gets sticky like rosemary does.
Yeah.
And I put it in pots because it's fully annual. It's not coming back.
Sure.
But it's really pretty. And
maybe I'll plant that one,
yeah,
this year.
Try
that sounds
it.
Fun.
If you really like vanilla, it will add
a vanilla
flavor to anything. Like, I think you could use it to add vanilla to coffee. Or make a simple syrup out of it. But I don't like vanilla flavored,
yeah,
things. And so I don't like it.
That's so funny.
It's such a weird thing to not like.
It's a weird thing, but that's cool. Whatever.
But, you know, I just, mm-hmm, want to give some support that herbs can just be pretty.
They can. Absolutely. That sounds like it might be a good like porch plant.
Yes, I think, mm-hmm, it would. I can't remember its sun requirements.
Nope.
I've had it in where it is like part sun, but when it gets sun, it's hot.
Okay, got it.
But I don't, looking at the plant, I don't think it would be upset with a little more shade.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like something you'd find on a mountainside.
Yeah. Okay, great. So mine, which I've already talked about a recent episode, but is lovage.
Yes.
That's my herb.
You talk about that
I
a lot.
I like lovage. To me, the foliage reminds me of the foliage that you see in the middle of celery.
Oh, yeah.
And it tastes similar. It's like a celery kind of parsley cross. So if you are someone who likes that really like crisp, like green flavor of parsley, celery leaves, those types of things, this is a plant for you.
I'm going to try this. You've talked about it for years now,
mm-hmm,
and I'm going to try it this year. Last year, 2 years ago, a friend and I tried to grow celery for the herb, like,
yeah,
not to grow the stock.
Mm-hmm.
Celery is a really slow plant,
mm-hmm,
but it is a nice like herb for adding to things.
Yes.
So I'm going to try it.
Yeah, if you've battled with celery and you were like, this is not worth it. That's what we did with lemongrass. We tried to grow lemongrass,
yeah,
but it takes so long and our season just isn't long enough. Don't get me wrong, lemongrass makes an excellent plant in the landscape. But if you're trying to actually get,
yes,
the pulp of the lemongrass, I don't think it's doable in this part of the state.
You'd have to cheat and buy it large.
Yes, you would. Yeah. So if that happened to you with celery, try some lovage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It always surprises me that celery is so cheap to buy because where it does want to grow, it's super easy to grow.
Oh, sure.
But it needs a longer season than we have. Mm-hmm. It takes forever to even germinate, much less make a stock.
Yes.
I'll just give a shout out to lemongrass. Mm-hmm. Is that, yes, I agree. If you're trying to like grow it to harvest it, I think you need to start big or have a way to bring it in for the winter.
Yeah.
But this was my husband's idea. He plants it around where our trash can is, mm-hmm. and it grows plenty fast. It grows into a grass. It just doesn't make the pulp.
Yeah.
And whenever in the middle of summer when things get a little stinky out there, he just cuts the top off the lemongrass.
I like it. That's a good idea. That's a good one. All right. Should we talk trees?
Yes.
Okay. So my tree is Prairie Gold Quake Aspen.
Yes.
This is a beautiful one. We don't always have it because it's not the easiest to get.
No.
But this year we have it. So if you are one of those people who just loves aspen, right? Which is a gorgeous, gorgeous tree, but doesn't typically do well in Nebraska. This one was found and developed to be perfect for our climate and soil and all of that good stuff. So if you want an aspen, this is the one.
Yeah.
Come and get it. Prairie Gold. And I bet we will not have a lot of them.
I don't think we're going to have a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. Do you remember where they're coming from?
I don't know.
I don't know either. They...
probably Great Plains.
I think we've asked for them over and over again, and if not, you know, this is the year we got told, yes, you can have some. So
now the other place I know you can reliably get them is Faller Landscape in York.
Yes.
So if you don't get them from us, short drive to Faller.
Yes. And I'm going to do oaks in general. I'm not going to pick one.
Okay.
I thought about this. I had a really hard time picking a tree. And I'm just going to highlight our selection of oaks. Because you can go to any nursery and get a red oak.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to a lot of nurseries and get a swamp white oak.
You can come to my yard and dig up a red oak.
Where are you going to get a blackjack hybrid oak?
Yeah.
Other than the Nebraska Statewide Arboretum. It's a little... it's not always like clearly shown to customers at Spring Affair,
mm-hmm.
but at Spring Affair, all of our perennials and temperennials and herbs and little plants, they all come from one vendor. The trees and shrubs come from our inventory that we collect from Great Plains Nursery and a few other nurseries, mm-hmm. but then the oaks, a lot
or
of them,
that we've grown.
Yeah, yeah. We grow a lot of these from seed, and they're ones you're not going to get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a collector of oaks or you just want to try something different, come check out our oaks. We've mm-hmm. got a good list. We've got bur oak, we've got blackjack, chinkapin, dwarf chinkapin, English, red.
I'm sad we don't have a shingle oak this year.
Well, the volunteers were potting them up this morning when I was at the greenhouse.
So we'll have them for not Spring Affair.
We might not have them at Spring Affair. Mm-hmm. I know also that if these sell down, Bob's going to go back to the greenhouse and get more, and they might be something
Bob's
different.
Bob's a salesman.
Yep. So, just check out our oaks, and if you don't find something cool enough at Spring Affair, come to our greenhouse, because mm-hmm. we've got to have one of the widest oak selections in this state.
Yes,
they will be small. Mm-hmm. These are seedling sized,
and they take a while to grow, and that's okay.
Yes, but just to speak for them, they take a little while to grow, mm-hmm. but they don't take, you know, I planted a 1 gallon Buckley oak when Silas was born.
Right.
And he's 4 and it's 10 feet tall.
There you go.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially if you are trying to, like, maybe you have an acreage or something where you're trying to plant a bunch of trees, you can come get $7 oak trees.
Yes.
From us. Now, if you're on an acreage, cage those babies.
Really, really well. And water them.
Yes. And water them. But it's a great way, especially if you like bought. I know a lot of people who buy these acreages, right, and plan to move there in 10 years or 15 years. So buy these little ones, let them grow up. They'll be tall enough by the time you want to move or build a house or whatever. And it's going to be a great spot for you.
And if that's what you're doing, if you've bought a property and you're not moving there for a while, plant yourself a little nursery.
Yeah.
You know, amend some really nice fluffy soil and plant mm-hmm. your trees where you can water them all together.
Yes.
'Cause that's where it gets hard on an acreage mm-hmm. when you have one tree here and then 400 feet away you have another tree. Yeah. Make yourself a little nursery and grow them up a little bigger. Mm-hmm. It's also a really great size for like succession planning.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, some big old oaks and you know you've got maybe 10 years left in those. Start some babies.
Yep. Yep. All right. Shrub time.
Okay.
Okay. This next one I picked is not underutilized, but
not
it
even
is
a little bit
so popular. I wanted to make sure people know that we were going to have it. We will have American elderberry this year.
That is exciting.
And Bob and I talked about it in the fruit trees episode. If you have the room for elderberry and it's a super easy fruiting shrub to grow,
it is,
go for it. So fun. Whether you eat it or just leave it for the wildlife, it's a great plant.
Yeah. And I remember last year, or I think it was last year, Bob had some, he was doing cuttings of elderberry.
Yeah.
And so he had them in the flat and they were just starting to leaf. And people were trying to buy them out of the propagation flat. And he was like, they barely have roots. You have to wait. Yeah. So people want the shrub, but we don't always have it.
Yep.
And a lot of times to get elderberry, you have to order in bare root from somewhere.
Yes.
So this is your chance.
Yes.
To get it.
Come and get it.
I am also cheating on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do New Jersey tea, which is Ceanothus. And it's going to be a tricky one, which is why I want to highlight it. It is in the sun perennials. It's a shrub. We know. Don't call us. We're aware. It goes back to what I said about who is the vendor. So
right.
New Jersey tea comes in with that big load of plants on a truck and mm-hmm. it needs to go in that inventory because otherwise we'll lose our minds because we have to manage the inventory for this event.
Yes.
So it stays in the sun perennials. It's Ceanothus mm-hmm. under C.
And it comes in very small.
And it comes in very small. It comes in a 3-inch pot. So it would be a little odd for us to put it with the 1-gallon quart, 3-gallon shrub. So it fits better at the event in the sun perennials. And people design with it that way. It's only 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's a 3-foot ball of a shrub.
Yes.
But it is woody. Mm-hmm. So you do have a choice. You can prune it back and let it regrow, or you can leave it woody in your landscape. It's kind of up to you. I would not cut it back every year if that's what you're doing. Probably every other year would be, you know, kind of the max it wants to handle. But I love this shrub. Yeah. One, because it stays that size. It's not a ball I pruned it into. It is a 3-foot ball. And it's covered in white flowers.
Yeah.
It's covered gorgeous. In pollinators. It doesn't have a strong scent, but it smells good. You can make tea out of it. I don't feel the need to, but you can. Mm-hmm. But it's just very pretty, very well-behaved, little predictable plant in my landscape.
Yes. Okay, and one thing I noticed we've been doing this whole time that I meant to bring up earlier, but we'll just do it at the end here. Tin perennials.
Yes.
Which we actually have listed as non-hardy in Spring Fair News.
It got changed, didn't it?
I guess it did. Am I in charge? I don't know. So non-hardy, tin perennials, annuals, we kind of use that interchangeably. It means different things, but we kind of use it all the same. We're not highlighting any of the tin perennials, non-hardies, whatever, because we just did an annuals episode.
Yes. So listen to the last episode and mm-hmm. you can get our suggestions. And also, we have a pretty typical selection of them. So there's not a whole lot of surprises.
It's really nice because while you're going to be able to come to Spring Affair and shop for your kind of harder to find pollinator plants, you can also get those pansies or petunias or that vine that you plant every year on your mailbox. Like mm-hmm. you can get all of those things as well. So it can be a one-stop shop.
Yeah. We're not, you know, we kind of work hard to make sure there's some harder to find and funky things in our perennials. Mm-hmm. We go pretty standard on the non-hardy annual things. But
no, every once in a while there are some fun ones. Last year, I have no idea what it's called, but I got this one that puts out these like pink caterpillar looking flowers.
Oh, yes.
You know
I've
that
seen
one?
Those. I don't know what it's called
I've
either.
I've seen it too, and I killed them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
We do have, I know the passiflora, the passion flower, mm-hmm. isn't always super easy to find. And we carry a couple different colors of that, which can be fun. And then what is it called? Forget about it.
That's okay. We also have some non-hardy milkweeds in here.
Yes.
Which, just to remind you, are good for pollinators still. They just don't, they won't return next year. So it's a good one to plant if you are trying to get milkweed established, like the native milkweed established. And in the meantime, you want something that is still going to serve the pollinators. You don't have to worry about it like you do in warmer climates where they don't recommend it because it can keep pollinators from migrating. Mm-hmm. Because it just, that doesn't happen in Nebraska.
Yeah. And this isn't our opinion. This is confirmed by entomologists.
All of them.
Yeah. So they all agree that it's fine because it's not going to, it doesn't keep growing past when they need to leave us.
Yes.
And they're here to lay eggs and go. Mm-hmm. So they're not tempted to stick around.
So it's a good like pre-establishment plant for pollinators.
If you're somebody who really wants to do pollinator gardens, but you're stuck in pots.
Yeah.
This is a great.
Should be perfect for you.
Yeah. And it comes in some funky colors.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a fun one. All right. That's Spring Affair 2024, baby.
It's going to be exciting.
I love it. So do we want to do a plan of the week? We just talked about so many plans.
I don't know if I can go back and pick one.
I can't either. So just listen to all those plants. Those are our plants of the week. All of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is there one thing in particular that you absolutely want to get at Spring Affair this
year? I always buy herbs at Spring Affair.
Yeah.
I do always buy perennials, but I've got to be kind of careful because I'm surrounded by perennials all year long. So I don't always do a 5-box order.
Yeah.
But I always make sure I get my pick of herbs. We didn't cover bay, the laurel.
Oh, bay laurel.
Which is like a thing here. Once you work for NSA, you have to own a bay tree.
I killed mine this winter.
It was really funny because we did go through like several years where every single person who started at NSA had to add their bay tree to their collection. It's laurel. And that's one that I don't know that I've seen to buy a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. And I've kept mine.
Yeah, you and Bob are doing great.
Mine is going on 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really funky shape because I keep cutting parts off of it.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that I am really looking for this year is a fun hanging vine for my hanging planters.
Yeah.
So non-hardy, just something fun.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking
for. Oh, I got to get my sweet potato vine again.
Yeah, your sweet potato vine.
It was this very particular color of sweet potato vine that I fell in love with last year.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Please don't forget to send in your questions as you're coming up on planting season, gardening season, all that. We've already started to get some questions, so that's fun. And you can find all the information about Spring Affair, how to become a member, because you do get a discount at Spring Affair and all of our other sales this spring, summer, fall at plantnebraska.org. So go there. That's your one-stop shop for all the information. And Bloombox and Bloombox Growing Deeper are both programs of the Nebraska Statewide Arboretum.